Peter Kennedy, good morning.
Hello, Ian.
Congratulations on that amount, the Walk for Life, the Relay for Life in Mandurah last weekend. The last figure I saw was $174,450 and rising.
And I spoke to Gail McGovern, who chaired the committee, and she was confident that they could get much closer to $200,000 too.
Fantastic.
So, you know, it's the late contributions coming in.
Yep.
They were keeping their fingers crossed.
That's really, really good. Now, speaking of money, we're in the red.
We're in the red big time. Mm. We're talking about the state budget.
Yep.
2 months into the financial year, the figures are in, and we've talked about this on Monday. We're into the red to the tune of $700 million. Now, there are a couple of extraneous factors in there which could bring it down a bit. The Treasurer and the Premier are putting the best gloss on it that they can, saying, you know, it's only early in the year.
Yep.
And the money comes in, you know, it's a bit lumpy the way it comes in. Some months you get a lot, other months you don't get so much, that sort of thing. But the signs aren't good, Ian. Mm. And particularly one issue that the government admits is beyond its control, that's the exchange rate.
Yep.
And they rely so heavily now on royalty income. And the problem being that most of the iron ore contracts, for instance, are written in US dollars.
Yeah.
And when the Treasury did the budget calculations, the forecasts for the year ahead, they were working on an exchange rate of the Australian dollar at 68.5 cents US.
And it's changed a lot.
No, it's changed hugely. Yeah, yesterday it was up nudging 90. I'm told by people who should know these things that they wouldn't be surprised if that parity was achieved before too long. In other words, yep. One Australian dollar equals one US dollar. And if that occurs, then that knocks the state budget around even more, because for every cent the exchange rate goes up, the government loses $55 million in royalty income over the year, over the 12-month period.
Yep.
So, and in other words, the budget could take a hit well beyond $1.5 billion just from royalty revenue. I mean, that's the worst-case scenario.
Yep.
But, you know, you've got to, and Mr. Barnett the other day asked, you know, will the budget slide into deficit, Mr. Barnett, or stay in surplus? And he held up his hand with his fingers crossed.
Yes.
So,
a rather vulgar saying, you can't polish a turd, and even trying to put the best gloss on it.
I was going to say a wing and a prayer.
A wing and a prayer, indeed. Now, preferences in Willoughby, a bit of argy-bargy going on.
Oh, there is, because I spoke to the candidates earlier in the week, and they were hopeful that they would come up with a decision yesterday on just which way preferences would go. You know, remember there's the official Green and the unofficial Green, as it were,
yep.
And the Christian Democrat Party member, and just how their preferences would go. I mean, Labor obviously hopes that preferences won't be needed.
Yeah.
But in the event that preferences will be needed, it could be quite important. Anyway, no decision yesterday. No decision from the minor parties as to how
where they're going.
No. And so they say, you know, perhaps today, perhaps early next week. But there will be a public forum for the before the by-election on Wednesday, November the 25th at the Melville Senior High School. All the candidates will be there. And
yep.
And voters are invited, so and they can then have a look at the candidates first up, and eye to eye, face to face, and make up their own minds.
And Perth's getting a new consulate.
This is interesting. I mean, we do have quite a diplomatic representation in Perth. We've got the Chinese consulate down the
just
road here,
the
Indonesian in Adelaide Terrace, British High Commission. We've got the US and the Japanese and a number of others. And you know, fairly sizable representations. But this floored me. I was speaking to John Hyde, the Labor member for Perth. He said he and Bill Marmion, the Liberal MP for the Netherlands, they attended the opening of the new consulate for Kazakhstan.
Oh, really?
Kazakhstan. And I said, you're joking. What's the story? He said, well, it's in West Perth.
Right.
And up to now, the Kazakhstan has not had representation in Australia. The ambassador has been in Singapore.
Right.
And he's had this sort of overarching role. But he said they've opened the consulate here. They now have full-time representation. And the reason is there's the trading links are quite strong.
Right.
Particularly in mining.
Right.
And there's quite a lot of Kazakhstan interest in mining in Western Australia, and probably a bit of vice versa too.
Yes.
And wheat is a significant activity. That side of things, crops in Kazakhstan. So there we are. There you are, and significant investments. So another.
The consul's not Borat, is it? I didn't say that.
I think there was some jovial comment along those lines, it wasn't confirmed.
Okay, the federal election campaign ticking away.
Yes, it is. And, I mean, this time next year we'll have had a federal election, Ian.
Yeah.
Pretty sure about that.
It's a chilling thought, isn't it?
Pretty sure, yeah, indeed. Pretty sure that that'll be the case. And the sitting members have been endorsed, but now the parties are getting serious about marginal seats where they think they can make gains.
Yep.
And Labor's open nominations in marginal seats, it's going to have a close look at, and they're all naturally enough held by the Liberals, and you wouldn't, no surprise that Canning is top of the list there.
Yes.
With Alana McTiernan. But also, they've got their eyes on Cowan, and they think they can make inroads there. Swan and Stirling. So Battle Royal in all of those seats. So they will be the seats to watch.
Yep.
For the federal election. Labor making a strong challenge to see if they can win them back. And the Liberals saying, no, we've got them. And we're going to keep them. Now, Labor nominations close on December the 1st for those seats, and they'll expect to have their candidates by the middle of the month, middle of December.
A big weekend at UWA.
Oh, look, all roads lead to University of WA. I know 720's had guest speakers from the In The Zone conference, which starts on Sunday night, which will be officially opened by the Premier, Colin Barnett. But look at this list of speakers for this coming week. Michael Chaney, Kim Beazley, Stephen Smith, the Foreign Affairs Minister, Tom Albanese from Rio Tinto, David Murray, who chairs the Future Fund, now has Peter Costello on his committee, of course, Sir Rod Eddington, Gareth Evans, the former Foreign Minister, Dr. Rick Smith, former Ambassador to China and Indonesia, Professor Barry Marshall, Nobel Prize winner, and look, that's just a sample of the high flyers, and this is a pretty high-powered conference. And,
Certainly is.
In the zone, the idea is in the time zone, if you look north, then there's a huge market there just in our time zone. You don't even have to sort of worry about
exactly.
Look at the clock.
Yeah, so it's the same time as here.
Yeah. And similarly, if you look to the west, then there's a huge potential market there. So there'll be a lot of focus, I think. And the chairman of Nippon Steel, the Hindustan Times, they're all represented. The Treasury of Australia, they're all there. And look, it'll be very interesting. A lot of action at the University of WA.
I mentioned when I opened the Almanac today, it's the 10th anniversary of the Republic referendum.
Doesn't time fly?
Doesn't it? Seems like yesterday.
And the main players in the referendum, Kim Beazley off to Washington.
Yep.
Malcolm Turnbull.
Now leader of the opposition.
Leader of the opposition. And what's happened in those 10 years? You know, I mean, what's happened to the Republican push? How would you describe it?
It's been in limbo.
Yeah, it's been dormant, hasn't it?
It certainly has been dormant.
Mm, yeah. And I know the strong supporters of a Republic say, you know, Labor's in power. Labor, get on with it. There doesn't seem any sign of enthusiasm at this stage.
The PM doesn't seem to be too enthused.
No, I'm certain that he sees it as a second-term issue.
Yeah.
In other words, if we get a second term, we'll look at it.
Yeah.
And the expectation is that, if the election was tomorrow, Labor would get a second term, and they'd look at it. But the problem still remains, and that is the model.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be much...
That's what bogged it down last time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The minimalist?
Yes.
Or the elected head of state? And when the issue comes up again, those issues will, I'm
all
certain...
All over again.
...be to the forefront.
Yeah. Some very sad news on the football front.
It was, Ian, especially at the Perth Football Club, but
yep.
Football generally. The death on Wednesday night, overnight to Wednesday, of Ken Armstrong, who was a player, a captain of the club, played in the premiership team of 1955 as a 19-year-old, coached the club to two premierships in the 70s, was the outstanding coach of the 70s when the WAFL was really, really booming and made the mark there. And an ABC football commentator as well.
Yep.
And also, Ian, coached with success in the Mount Barker region, in the Great Southern down there, in the mid-60s.
Right.
So Ken made and also coach of Subiaco Football Club. So Ken has made an enormous contribution, and he was admitted to the WAFL Hall of Fame last year. A lot of sadness at the football club. His grandson, Stephen, is still a player. The family's made an enormous contribution to football. As I say, a lot of sadness. Ken will be missed, and our condolences to Wendy and the family on Ken's loss.
And what's coming up, Peter?
Well, Rupert Murdoch's heading for Perth.
Is he?
Yes. Rupert Murdoch, proprietor of the Sunday Times.
So there'll be a bit of activity down on Stirling Street?
I think they'll be sprucing up the new offices
yes.
on Stirling Street. But, of course, the Sunday Times was his first acquisition back in the mid-50s.
Right.
When he started acquiring his empire from...
From little things, big things grow.
From Adelaide, yes. Mm. So he'll be interested to see how the new offices there are going. And I'm told there'll be a cocktail party on Saturday afternoons, and he'll be taking some of the younger journalists from the Sunday Times to dinner on Saturday night. So I'm sure they'll look forward to that, and they won't forget that. In addition, Colin Barnett will be in Ravensthorpe today for a sod-turning ceremony for the new lithium mine, employing up to more than 100 people there, so that'll be a good shot in the arm for Ravensthorpe. Glenn Mitchell will be speaking at Parliament House today, Ian.
Is he?
Yeah, it's a Australian Parliamentary Association forum up there, and he'll be speaking on this general issue of sports stadiums.
All right.
And, you know, just how significant are sports stadiums in the whole scheme of things. Troy Buswell will be announcing an initiative to assist homeless people, and all my colleagues, it'll be the night of nights tomorrow night, the media ball, when awards will be given for outstanding efforts in journalism through the year. And also tonight on Stateline, Under Treasurer Tim Barney will be Francis Bell's guest.